Good afternoon, and thank you very much for inviting me to participate and speak during this session this afternoon. And my apologies that I have to run off at 5 o'clock. But hopefully I'll keep my presentation relatively short so that there is still time for questions afterwards. What I'm going to present now is actually the work that was done within our organization a few years ago, looking at the different financing models for nuclear power. So just a quick word on who we are for those of you who may not know us. Nuclear Europe is the trade association that represents the nuclear industry at European level. Our members are essentially the National Nuclear Fora, as well as several corporates, including CES, and we mainly work with stakeholders in Brussels, so the European Commission, the Parliament, and the member states through the Council. One of the big issues around all of this is the cost of financing, particularly for new nuclear builds. Construction costs, very high capital costs. I think we all know this, that this applies for nuclear. And as a result, that triggers large financing costs. And so the cost of finance can play a very important role in the cost of a nuclear project. In terms of how you would finance nuclear, very often you hear people say, oh, well, nuclear power plants are only financed through state aid. That's not true. There are different ways of financing nuclear, and here you have an overview of three of the models identified by the OECD Nuclear Energy Agency in 2020. So first of all, you have the sovereign model, which is a government financing model. And that basically is either direct financing through state aid or public borrowing, which is an indirect form of financing. Here, countries with low sovereign risks, BBB minus ratings and above, can provide advantageous financing conditions. Of course, this is important because, as I mentioned before, the actual cost of finance can have an impact on the cost of the project. You then have two private models, the first one being the corporate model, where the utilities themselves, or at least the utilities with a strong balance sheet, are able to finance these large projects by raising equity and borrowing money. So essentially debt. Here, the creditors can claim the loan against company assets as a whole. And this is where you have the second model, which is a project finance model. And so here, a project company is created to enable a legal separation between the project itself and sponsors and the sponsor's other assets. The result in this one is that lenders have a limited recourse beyond the revenues or the assets of that specific project. There isn't, as I mentioned, a single approach to financing nuclear projects. And therefore, the ownership as well is no longer the single determinant of that financing model. Looking at it from an ownership perspective, there's been two main models used in the past. First of all, the government financing model, or the sovereign model, or secondly, the corporate financing model. But in both of these models, governments do play a role either as an investor or as a technology provider to a state-owned company. Under the corporate financing models, governments co-invest with the corporates. Here you have a slide which kind of shows you the different aspects, so the ownership transferability from public to private, and then the risk transferability from public to private. And there you go from kind of the low risk, full public ownership, which is the government financing. And gradually you go up to corporate financing, infrastructure-based remuneration, and finally project finance and public-private partnerships. But what is clear that under all of these models, government support in some way or form is still needed. This is one example of a financing model. If you look at this report is available on our website, and we can perhaps share the link with you after the conference if you're interested. But I have taken one of the models out of the report, which is the Mankata model, which is used in Finland. Under this model, you have TVO, which is essentially raising debt at a market rate, and its stakeholders are equity providers, subordinated shareholder loans, and then there's no dividend. What happens here is that TVO provides power at cost to the shareholders, and the shareholders pay the fixed and variable costs of the projects. The shareholders can then either directly provide the power to the external market, or they can provide the power at cost to underlying off-takers, use the power in their own operations, or the underlying off-takers can either, again, send the power to the external market, or they themselves can use it in their own operations. In this respect, the ownership structures you can see here is 44% owned by individual industrial companies, 31% is energy companies, and then 26% is owned by Fortum. So it tells you there who is involved in that project. The work that we did also tried to put together some recommendations. And here what was identified by those involved in the task force on this project is that, first of all, both the investment rating and the ability to attract debt for new projects have a central role to play in the financing of the new nuclear power plant projects. Multiple financing mechanisms are needed in order to access a broad variety of sources of capital. We need a stable and long-term investment policy framework for nuclear that optimizes the distribution and allocation of risk for the sake of the community of stakeholders and with a view to ensure consumer value for money. Targeted actions may also be needed, policymakers may also need to develop targeted actions to enable a comprehensive investment framework. And I think this is a very important point. It's important not just for nuclear, it's important for all large projects. We need that stable long-term vision to encourage investors. An industrial management framework for nuclear new build projects at the level of project development and ownership level is a key success factor in managing risks. And finally, an investment policy planning for low carbon technologies such as nuclear power is critical in driving investments and achieving the climate neutrality goals. And this comes back to the point that I just made about having that long-term vision. At the end of the day, investors are saying it very clearly. If they're going to invest in a project that's lasting maybe 20, 30 years for renewables, 60, 80 years for nuclear, they need to have that long-term perspective to make sure that they're going to get the money back on that investment. As I mentioned earlier, our main stakeholders are those in Brussels. So the Commission, the Parliament, the Council. We have a new commission who was officially approved today by the European Parliament, which means that we are now going to be going into this new EU mandate. And so we've been looking at the different policies on the table in order to identify what we think the EU needs to be doing under this new mandate. And here I've just selected the ones relating to finance, economics, budget. First of all, the Commission is going to be putting together two investment strategies. First of all, a dedicated clean energy investment strategy for Europe, and then a clean technology investment plan. What we are saying is that we need to have equal treatment for nuclear. The reality is that we need to rapidly decarbonize our energy system, whilst at the same time ensuring energy sovereignty and security of supply. And so that means making use of all the tools in the box, nuclear and renewables. And that's why we say you need to treat these technologies equally in the policy. There needs to be support for investment in nuclear power plants, be they large reactors, but also the small modular reactors that are currently under development. At the same time, we also need to have support for investment in the supply chain and the fuel cycle facilities in Europe. The new Commissioner for Energy, Dan Jorgensen, in his hearing to the European Parliament, stressed on multiple occasions the need for us to reduce our dependence on Russian nuclear fuel and components. In order to do that, we need to ramp up capacity in Europe. So we need to build up this nuclear supply chain in Europe, and we need to build up the fuel cycle supply chain in Europe. But to do that, we need investment, and we need that long-term vision that says to investors, if you invest in these manufacturing facilities in Europe today, they will still be supported in 40 years' time. So that's important for investors. Recognition of nuclear as a clean technology alongside renewables. Again, that's that level playing field issue that I mentioned before. Nuclear is clean and nuclear is sustainable. The science says this. So let's treat it in the same way that we treat renewables. And that is going to help investors look at nuclear projects and consider financing them. We then have a whole plethora of EU funds. So we have a lot of existing funds, InvestEU, Just Transition Fund. They're going to be putting together European Competitiveness Fund, European Investment Fund, the next multi-annual financial framework, and then you have the support that comes from the European Investment Bank. The funds from here may not be large, but they send a message to investors. So if nuclear plants alongside renewable technologies are able to access these funds, again, it's sending a message to investors that these are investable projects and they have the support of the policymakers. So we're also calling for all these nuclear exclusions to be removed, such as the Just Transition Fund. Make sure that all new funds include nuclear, again, equally with renewables. And make sure that the EIB is providing financial support for nuclear projects. Because let's be very clear, the EIB energy lending criteria does not prevent financial support for nuclear. So we as an industry need to start requesting access to EIB financial support, and the EIB needs to recognize nuclear in line with its own criteria. We have the Sustainable Finance Framework. Maybe you're wondering what impact that will have. Well, it has an impact because companies have to report on their share of investable of their in projects in which they have invested that are taxonomy compliant or not. So if a project is not recognized as taxonomy compliant, that can hamper investment, because investors will say, well, I can't list it as a taxonomy compliant project, so maybe I will not invest in it, again, for that future certainty. And so we're calling for nuclear to be treated the same as renewables, no longer a transitional, but also coming back to the point that I mentioned earlier, the fuel cycle needs to be included as an enabling technology under the taxonomy, particularly if really the goal is to wean ourselves off Russian nuclear fuels. And then state aid. Again, they're going to be looking at revising the state aid rules, so our call here is not to change the status quo for nuclear, not to make it harder for nuclear to access state aid. But also we should be looking at different tools which can perhaps speed up the approval process. So these are all the areas that we're looking at into for the next EU mandate. As I said, we think it's really important. We have been able to get these projects off the ground in the past. Look at the 70s, look at the 80s, UK and France. It is doable. But we need the support of all the different stakeholders, and we need to make sure that we have the financing in place in order to support these projects. Thank you.